Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. This is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. Neil Brennan. This evening's headlines, COVID-19 restrictions will start to ease from next week as a part of the new roadmap to reopening, which is due to be published tomorrow. The Arts Minister says vaccine passes will likely be needed for the return of indoor concerts and events in September. Catherine Martin says she had a positive meeting with industry representatives earlier. A senior member of NPHET says the reopening of schools with the Delta variant spreading will present a new challenge. The current five-day average of cases here is almost at 2,000. And the Taoiseach has been paying tribute today to Councillor Bernard McGuinness, the Caerlach of Inishowen Municipal District, who died at the weekend at the age of 77. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport coming up for you within the next half hour. Back to our main stories this evening now, however, and COVID-19 restrictions will start to ease from next week as a part of the new roadmap to reopening the country, which is due to be published tomorrow. The government has indicated that capacity limits on public transport, as well as a ban on indoor activities for children, will be among the first measures to be removed. One member of the government's cabinet subcommittee on COVID-19 has warned that while there are a lot of changes coming in the next few months, they do not come without their risks. Speaking on his way into a meeting of the subcommittee this afternoon, Minister Michael McGrath said there's still a level of uncertainty when it comes to the virus.
We do have to retain that flexibility, and we have to retain the right to change and to reflect the circumstances as we face them. So if the circumstances change in a significant way, then of course government will have to respond to that.
Also speaking before that meeting this afternoon, the Health Minister said Ireland has a lot to be optimistic about when it comes to the fight against COVID-19. But also Minister Stephen Donnelly says we still need to be vigilant.
Watching very carefully the situation in Scotland, in Northern Ireland and Wales, for example, where we're seeing very, very significant increases in cases. Northern Ireland has a very significant increase in hospitalisations. It's far higher than ours is. So we need to continue to follow the public health advice. We need to keep minding each other.
The Arts Minister says vaccine passes will likely be needed for the return of indoor concerts and events in September. Catherine Martin says she had a positive meeting with representatives from the sector earlier, but the Events Industry Alliance has expressed anger and frustration with the lack of a confirmed reopening date. The Cabinet Subcommittee on COVID is currently meeting to finalise the timeline for easing all restrictions ahead of that roadmap being published tomorrow. And Minister Catherine Martin says it's expected proof of vaccination will be needed to get the live events industry back up and running.
I believe so, for that first phase, to make sure that we can have them reopen and perform again. That would be required for the indoor entertainment in September.
Following today's meetings with government, Donegal musician and MEAI representative Matt McGranahan told today's 9 till noon show that while it was nice to receive acknowledgement from government officials during today's meetings, it's now time for action on those commitments given.
It's good to hear them say that. It's good to have that acknowledgement. But we need to see that commitment now being delivered by the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and government in the next week to 10 days.
It's been announced today that another 6 COVID patients have died in Northern Ireland. 1,259 new cases have also been confirmed in the north in the space of the last 24 hours. A senior member of NPHET says the reopening of schools with the Delta variant continuing to spread will present a new challenge. The current five-day average of cases in the Republic is 1,899, with most of those new infections in younger people who are not fully vaccinated. Professor Philip Nolan says there's considerable evidence schools are not major places of transmission, but he says COVID safety measures in schools will also have to be strictly observed during the new term because of the more transmissible Delta strain. Meanwhile, the LYIT walk-in vaccination centre will be open to children aged from 12 and up this coming weekend to receive either a first or second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Damien McCallion is the HSE's national lead of the vaccination programme, and he says there's been a strong take-up in that age cohort.
About 65% of those are registered at the moment, which is about 260,000 out of around a population of 400. So we're pretty happy with that, in the sense that we're only a couple of weeks into those age groups, and we've really seen good take-up from younger people and their parents right through the last couple of weeks, including, in fact, over the weekend with the walk-in clinics.
The Taoiseach has been paying tribute today to Councillor Bernard McGuinness, the Caerlach of the Inishowen Municipal District, who died at the weekend at the age of 77. On today's 9 Till Noon show, Leo Varadkar said that Bernard McGuinness had a perspective on politics that only comes from experience and was of immense help to younger politicians, not least Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh. Mr. Varadkar told Greg Hughes that anyone who can retain a seat for 40 years obviously has the respect and support of the local community.
Very, very sad, of course, to hear the news that that Bernard's passed on. Somebody who I would have met on many occasions down the years as party leader and even before that. And somebody who's a huge loss to us as a party, but I think also to Inishowen and to Donegal and to Kildare. And one thing I think that is remarkable about him, and a lot of people wouldn't know this, is that he has been elected across five decades. Was actually elected first to the council in 1979, the year I was born, and has managed to get re-elected on every occasion since then. So I think that shows what a good public rep he was and the kind of faith and support that people in his community had for him.
And when a party enjoys success and ends up in government and positions of power, it's the seeds are sown an awful long time ago by people like Councillor McGuinness.
That's right, and I think you know, he's somebody who, if you ever met him, would have really explained to you the ups and downs in politics. Like, I know for Joe McHugh, he was very much a mentor, but when you're new to politics, sometimes you don't see the long view. He would always have seen the long view, so he would have been there, you know, for the heady days of Gareth Fitzgerald when the party was doing extremely well. He would have been there for some of the difficult days when Bertie Ahern was in his ascendancy and people were wondering about whether Fine Gael would survive as a party. He would have been there for the end of Kenny days, you know, when the party became the largest party in the state for two terms. So he had that kind of perspective, you know, that really only comes with experience and maturity, I think.
A former bishop believes the Catholic Church should help with the housing crisis in any way that it can. His comments come as the housing minister has asked the church to identify any areas it could sell land back to the state for to provide additional housing. Andrew Louth has more.
Housing Minister Dara O'Brien is understood to have written to Archbishop Eamon Martin last Wednesday. He highlighted previous comments by the Archbishop and other members of clergy on the housing issue, according to the Irish Times. Former Bishop Willie Walsh believes the church land doesn't belong to the clergy.
It's people's land. And I think that anything that the church can do to help the housing situation, I think it should be there and trying to do it.
However, Labour's housing spokesperson, Senator Rebecca Moynihan, says actually building homes is the issue.
The problem that the state has isn't a lack of land, but it's actually housing delivery and housing affordability.
It comes as the minister is due to unveil the Housing for All policy this week, which will aim to build 33,000 new homes every year until 2025. Rebecca Moynihan doesn't think that's enough.
Other commentators suggest up to 50,000 because the 33,000 doesn't take into account population growth. So if they're the number of deliveries that we're looking at, I think it's fallen way short of what we need.
The plan could be published as early as Thursday.
Letterkenny and its surrounding areas is facing a shortage of student accommodation. That's according to the LYIT Student Union. They claim that a notable number of students have contacted their offices in recent weeks who are seeking a place to stay in the town before the upcoming academic year, but all available options are already booked up. Edward Grant is the Welfare and Equality Officer at the LYITSU. Speaking with Greg Hughes on today's 9 Till Noon show, he said that the current shortages of accommodation in the town are being caused by a fault in the available houses and rooms year on year that are made available to students.
Within the last week alone, we've had 15 to 20 students reach out to myself and colleagues saying they can't find anything, and everything they can find is booked up.
And why? Is there more demand or less accommodation available?
Less accommodation available. In the past couple of years, we've seen a trend. We have a property list we post up on our website. And over the past couple of years, we've managed to grow it year upon year. So last year, we had about 295 rooms. This year, we only have 277. Although it looks like a small drop, it's impacting the students greatly because, as I said, the student population has grown and so did the list over the last couple of years. So with this drop, it's suddenly just hitting.
And is this property being used for other purposes, maybe sold on, turned into family homes, or are landlords a bit nervous about having students in their property? What's the cause of this?
It tends to be all that there. Ringing around previous landlords, we had a lot of people who, due to COVID, that would have historically had student accommodation, changed it to be privately rented. And just due to the pressures in the housing market, we're finding it really hard to get new landlords on board.
Is it possible rent caps are adding to this as well?
It could be. Generally, we would have capped the price last year. It would have been about €320 per week or per month. That would have been the cap that the student union put on our property list. But this year, just due to the demand and the supply issue, we've had to remove that completely.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you know, landlords could probably expect to get much more than that from their accommodation. But that means any accommodation coming to market might be out of the reach of a lot of families.
Yeah, students, I think it's an issue that they have is when they're in full-time education, they just can't afford to pay the rents that some families might be able to pay.
Politicians north and south of the Irish border have met the families of the Troubles victims to support their opposition to introduce an amnesty for legacy killings. Last month, the UK government announced plans to end all prosecutions in Northern Ireland, for instance, up to April of 1998. But local politicians and family members say it'll mean there will never be justice. Raymond McCord, whose son was murdered by loyalist paramilitaries, says the amnesty is not right.
With their support and the pressure that they can put on, along with the victims, Boris Johnson will see that what he's trying to do is totally impossible to do because of the opposition to it. Because no matter what happens today or tomorrow, the victims aren't going away. They're not going back home, sit in and close the front door and let this go.
Fianna Fáil TD James Lawless, who is the chairman of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, meanwhile, says historical crimes can still be solved.
There's no good reason why you can't still investigate. Time is no barrier. There's no statute of limitations in any other area of criminal law. Why should one be put in place on this? The families need the truth. And actually, I think what's even more important than prosecutions or convictions is to just know what happened, how it happened, who did what, why. And that's how I think we begin to move towards a longer lasting reconciliation.
It's 12 minutes past five. We'll take a quick break now. Sport is on its way next.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And now it's time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Daniel. Well, one of the most impressive players for Derry City in the Premier Division this season has been their young defender, Ronan Boyce. And the Remelton man has been rewarded today for his fine performances in the candy stripe shirt with a call-up to the Republic of Ireland under-21 squad. The 20-year-old will link up with Jim Crawford's team for the two away fixtures with Bosnia on Friday and then Luxembourg next Tuesday. Well, Derry's away tie to Bohemians in the Premier Division this weekend has been postponed. The fixture was originally due to be held on Friday, the September the 3rd, but it has been put back due to international call-ups and will be rescheduled in due course. The FAI has confirmed that the senior women's and men's international sides are to be paid equally. Captains Katie McCabe and Seamus Coleman were involved in brokering the deal, which sees the men take a pay cut. The FAI will make up the shortfall to bring parity to how the men's and women's teams are compensated. Seamus Coleman says it's important to show togetherness on the issue.
You know, since it's been brought to my attention, I think it's been a good news story. It's been something positive. It's been something happy. And, you know, I think Katie for the women's team has done a lot of work, and fair play to her. She seems like a real leader of that team. And the FAI were good, and listen, we just wanted to get it done, and I think it's important for the people of the country to see that kind of togetherness between the men and women's team, and delighted to be involved.
It's not just yourself, of course there's a whole squad there, and there seems to be a real eagerness amongst the squad for this to happen.
Yeah, the squad were more than happy. You know, I spoke to the senior players over the last while, and we had conversations about it, and yeah, no, listen, it's a good day for the FAI, it's a good day for the men's, it's a good day for the women's, so we're all delighted with it, and, you know, I hope it gives everyone a better quality when they come away now playing for their country. There's, you know, a lot more happiness, and they don't feel, I suppose, that they're a step behind the men when it shouldn't be the case.
Another shocker news, Bohemians goalkeeper James Talbot has been called into the Republic squad for this week's qualifiers. He replaces Mark Travers, who misses out through injury. Meanwhile, tickets for the home games with Azerbaijan and Serbia will go on general sale tonight. 25,000 fans will be allowed inside the Aviva Stadium for each game. Conor Hooran is set to join Sheffield United on a season-long loan. The Republic of Ireland midfielder has found first-team football hard to come by at Aston Villa. Hooran spent the second half of last season on loan at Swansea. Meanwhile, reports in Turkey are suggesting that Robbie Brady could be set to join up with Gaziantep. The 29-year-old has been without a club following his release by Burnley at the end of last season. Manchester City's Ruben Dias has signed a new 6-year contract until the summer of 2027. The defender was named the Premier League and Football Writers Association Footballer of the Year after helping Pep Guardiola's side to the title last season. He also played a key role in their League Cup success and run to the Champions League final. Dias is part of the Portugal squad, which is due to face the Republic of Ireland in the qualifiers. In Gaelic games, Declan Bonner will learn this evening at a county executive meeting if he faces opposition for the role of Donegal's senior team manager. Bonner, who led Donegal to 2 Ulster titles, seen his time as county boss come to an end after the Ulster semi-final defeat to Tyrone. Last week, the Narasimhan presented his report to the county committee and also confirmed that he would be putting his name forward to seek a new term. Clubs were notified the position was open to others to apply, and they had until yesterday, Sunday, to advise the executive about any candidate they wished to propose. Well, the Donegal CCC have set the date and time for the second 2020 Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure County Final between Kilcare and Neave Connell. Following Sunday's decision taken by the CCC that the game should be replayed, the game has been allotted Wednesday, the 8th of September at 8 o'clock at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. The CCC ordered the replay after Neave Connell were found to have broken rules en route to winning a 5th Dr. Maguire Cup by using 4 substitutes during extra time instead of the allowed 3. Speaking on the DL debate tonight with Brendan Devaney, former championship winning player and manager with St Union's Brendan Kilcoyne, is now questioning if the game will be played at all.
Ah, listen, Brendan, it's a mess. It is, and it's hard to see how there's going to be any satisfactory outcome to the whole thing. And you know, I suppose, Brendan, it just takes my mind back to 97 anyway, and you and I know, you know, how that lingered on in our heads for a good number of years after. And did it drive us on to win more championships? Maybe it did. Maybe it did, Brendan. But, you know, it's just not ideal. You look at Tyrone and preparing for an All-Ireland final, and you have these issues going on in the background in Donegal. So it's not good for Donegal. It's not good for either club involved. And it's the two clubs involved that are, you know, I think outside the two clubs, who really cares, Brendan? They're planning for this year's championship, so they are. And they may take maybe certain satisfaction that with the deviation that this is causing both Kilcare and Neave Connell, are they scheming in the background for a large assault on the title? But it's going to go on. Are Neave Connell going to appeal it now? Obviously they are. I just can't see how it's going to be resolved satisfactorily to all parties involved.
Brendan Kilcoyne speaking to Brendan Devaney on tonight's DL debate, which will be available as a podcast this evening on highlandradio.com. Plus, it will be aired just after the 7 o'clock news as well. Also on the DL debate tonight is another Brendan Crossan, the GA writer with the Irish News, will be discussing that fantastic victory for Tyrone over the weekend, where they beat Kerry to reach the All-Ireland final. On the Paralympic front, Nicole Turner said she was shocked to have claimed a silver medal this morning at the Games in Tokyo. The Port Arlington swimmer came home second in the S6 50-metre butterfly. Her new personal best time of 36.3 seconds saw her finish behind the gold medal winner Yan Jiang of China. Finally, in motorsport, Letterkenny navigator Rory Kennedy won the Carlow Rally Sprint event on Sunday. Rory was calling the notes for Jason Smith, who drove his R5 Ford Fiesta to victory, winning by just 3.7 seconds from the WRC Fiesta of Martin Cairns. Rory, who has a decorated career in the co-pilot seat, has now won rallying events spread across 6 decades, starting out from the late 70s. And that's it from the sports desk for today. Daniel, back with more tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now, and the IFA president is in Donegal today for meetings with branch officials and farmers on the ground. Tim Cullinan says issues pertaining to cap reform are high on the agenda, particularly in relation to schemes for ewes and suckler cows, and also on an improved environmental scheme. Mr Cullinan says they'll be sitting down soon with Minister Charlie McConlogue to hear what he proposes before lodging plans with the EU by the end of the year.
What has to take place now, obviously, is the cap strategic plans have to be prepared to go back and to be agreed in Brussels later on in the year. And I suppose around those plans, there's some critical areas. Obviously, the funding And we've heard nothing solid yet from our minister, from the department on, you know, the amount of funding will be available. But, you know, we have a plan around that ourselves, obviously. And, you know, the number of key areas there for us, obviously the suckler cow is very, very important. And we're looking to get that payment increased up to €300 per cow. And on the O, we're striving to get that payment up to €30 for the sheep welfare scheme as well. And there was a clear commitment in the programme for government by the three parties that are in government that there would be $1.5 billion of a carbon tax fund available for a proper environmental scheme. And I know very well, you know, in this part of the country, a good environmental scheme obviously is very, very important, along with the targeted payments.
There's been a perception that the replacement of the REP scheme has never worked, and whatever has been brought in since then has been piecemeal and hasn't really addressed the issues on the ground. Are we any closer to resolving that?
I would accept that. Like, the GLAS scheme never really replaced the old REP scheme, you're right. And what we are striving for here is that there will be a proper scheme and a simplified scheme as well, to know that farmers can apply for and, you know, be able to get a proper payment from that.
Six projects in Donegal are to share €285,000 in CLAR funding for schools, following confirmation at the latest round of funding by Minister Heather Humphreys. These six Donegal projects are in Barnsmore, Coldaff, Dunfanaghy, Fintown, Glencolum Kill and Tamney. The full details are on our website, highlandradio.com. Minister Charlie McConlogue says the funding will be a tremendous benefit to these vital community projects and will support employment, community development, as well as volunteerism. The National Screening Service is urging women who receive breast check appointments to carefully check which centre they're being called to. Since last week, a number of women have been arriving at wrong centres. Greg Hughes has more.
Since last week, BreastCheck have been screening in two locations in the county, Letterkenny and Donegal Town. However, they say some women who were invited to screening in the Donegal Town mobile unit have been arriving for screening at the Letterkenny mobile. The temporary Donegal Town unit arrived last week and will stay for the next number of weeks. BreastCheck are asking women to carefully check their appointment letters so that they know whether they should go to Letterkenny or Donegal Town. In some cases, it will not be the same centre that previous tests were held at. BreastCheck says if people attend the wrong unit, they may not be able to offer a test. If anyone has any questions, they can contact the BreastCheck Western Unit on 091 580 600 or free phone 1800 45 45 55.
The Department of Health is being urged to consider privatising part of the ambulance service to help ease pressure. The system has come under scrutiny after cases emerged of ambulances driving up to 500 kilometres in just one day. Last week it emerged that one Donegal ambulance had responded to a call in Belmullet, while in another case a patient was brought to Letterkenny University Hospital in a Garda car because no ambulance was available. David Hall of Lifeline says routine transfer could be contracted out to the private sector.
If anybody was to independently review this, I'm not saying that they would be in favour of private companies doing emergency work. I think what they would be is in favour of private companies doing the routine transfers and releasing the routine transfer service that the National Ambulance Service has to help their colleagues doing frontline work. That would be a cheaper alternative. That would be a far better alternative to the public. And more lives being saved and helped. This seems to be something that's being kept in-house and something that needs to be expanded for third parties can review this, including HICWA and including the Department of Health, should take an active role in making sure that all resources available to the National Ambulance Service are being deployed in the interest of saving lives and preventing people getting harmed worse.
And now the weather, staying dry this evening with some bright or sunny spells breaking through. It'll be mostly dry tonight with a mix of cloudy periods and some clear spells. A few mist and fog patches will form as the night progresses. Lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees overnight tonight. Back to this evening's main headlines once again, and COVID-19 restrictions will start to ease from next week as part of the new roadmap to reopening, which is due to be published tomorrow. The government has indicated that capacity limits on public transport, as well as a ban on indoor activities for children, will be among the first measures to be removed. The Arts Minister says vaccine passes will likely be needed for the return of indoor concerts and events in September. Catherine Martin says she had a positive meeting with representatives from the live events sector earlier. A senior member of NPHET says the reopening of schools with the Delta variant spreading will present a new challenge. Professor Philip Nolan says there's considerable evidence schools are not major places of transmission, but also reminded that COVID safety measures will need to be strictly observed during the new school term because of the more transmissible Delta variant. And finally, the Taoiseach has been paying tribute today to Councillor Bernard McGuinness, the Caerlock of the Inishowen Municipal District, who died at the weekend at the age of 77. Leo Varadkar said Bernard McGuinness had a perspective on politics that only comes from experience and was of immense help to younger politicians, not least Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh, during his 40-plus year political career. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll have the latest headlines again for you at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for Monday evening, August the 30th. The death has occurred of Bernard McGlynn, Bomini, Letterkenny. His remains will be reposing at his brother Paddy's residence in Rossgear, Lifford. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conmall Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are restricted to family and close friends only, please, with a limit of 50 people in the church. The death has taken place of Councillor Bernard McGuinness, Culdaff. Bernard's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Bochan, Culdaff, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are limited to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Bernard's funeral mass can be viewed live on culdaffparish.com. Family flowers only, donations if desired to St. Vincent de Paul Society, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Bridget Breege McGinley, Knocknafar, Dunfanaghy, and formerly of Ards, Creasla. Her remains are reposing in Knocknafar. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, followed by interment in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live at mcnmedia.tv/camera/St. Michael's Church, Creasla. The death has taken place of Monica McGlynn, Ní McDade, Foghouse, Figgery, Fawn, and formerly of Seattle, Washington, USA, and Buncrana. Requiem Mass on Wednesday at 11 a.m. in St. Mura's Church, Fawn, followed by a private cremation at a later date. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the Requiem Mass is strictly for immediate family only. The death has occurred of Jimmy Barkley, 6 Pulleytine Road, Ballymongan, Ahiaran. Requiem Mass will be celebrated tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St. Patrick's Church, Ahiaran. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The mass can be viewed via the Ahiaran Parish webcam. Due to government restrictions, the house is private. And the death has occurred of Michael Boucher Hayes, 167 Meadow Hill, Letterkenny, and formerly of Dublin. A private family funeral will take place in University Church, St. Stephen's Green, Dublin, tomorrow at 11 a.m, followed by burial in Dean's Grange Cemetery. The funeral can be viewed at livestream.absentfriends.ie. /Michael Boucher Hayes. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director.